you know, that's not, you think you could skip the whole thing. I don't know where it would come from.
You mean the Habamita that maybe you could leave out the Zrikos? That maybe,
yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, you don't have that anywhere. It comes nowhere. You know, like,
well,
nowhere else.
Well, maybe, Joe, it's because there's also Avodas HaMizbeach, meaning there is Zrikos.
I understand. Right. I understand.
So I'm saying there are hazos that are bifnim, you know, inside the Kodesh Kodashim.
Yeah.
And then there's Haktar Seburim in the Azor. So maybe we would think that the hazos is just an added element, you know, to embellish the carbon, but it's not likuva. How are you doing, Ira?
I don't know where.
Oh, David's here too. So how many people have the Maramakomos? Does anybody have it?
What? Yeah. I sent them out.
Right, I saw it, David. So you have it on your computer. On your phone. Okay. All right, so let's get started. Is that all right? Because I think it's getting a little late. So for Parshas Naso, we have the Parsha of the Nazir. Okay, and that's at the very beginning of Perek Vav of Sefer Bamidbar. Now, our discussion today will be focused on the Nazir, but I do want to say that if we hit payday, which I don't know if we will, then we might understand why Naso coincides with either Erev Shavuos, meaning before Shavuos, or after Shavuos. In Chutz Laretz, it's very common that Naso is read before Shavuos, not this year, but in other years. And the Shalah, which is the first source on your page, he points out, he quotes a pasuk in Eov, L'chol Zman, L'chol Eis. He says that the Mo'adim go around in a circle, and he claims that applies not just to the Mo'adim d'Oraisa, but even to the Mo'adim d'Rabbanan. And when it says Eila Mo'adei Hashem, he says that the word Eila is coming to include even Mo'adim d'Rabbanan, or for example, Tainios, which have a status of Mo'adim, and Tisha B'Av, and of course, Chanukah and Purim. All these are Mo'adim d'Rabbanan. So we have the cadre of Mo'adim d'Oraisa, and then we have a whole constellation of Mo'adim d'Rabbanan. And whenever we have a parsha in the Torah that's read around the time of that Moed, he says it's not coincidental. It has to do with this whole Gilgul, he says, that goes around and around. Hakol miyad Hashem hiskil. You know, this is all, even if it's the Rabbanan, it's all part of a divine plan. So what I'm hoping is that maybe, don't hold me to this, at the end of our discussion about Naso, perhaps we could apply the rule of the Shalah and figure out why it is that we read this parsha around the time of Kabbalah Sator, maybe. In any event, let's begin with Pasuk Zion. Li aviv uliimo liachiv ulachoso lo yitamo lahem bimosam ki nezer elukov al rosho. So there are two parts to this Pasuk. One is purely halachic, and the other is more of a hashkafa. The halachic part tells you that A Nazir is not allowed to have any contact with the dead, even if it means his closest relatives. And who does that remind us of, by the way, in the world of Halacha?
Kohen Gadol.
Exactly, the Kohen Gadol, because a Kohen Hedjot, Adarab, has a mitzvah to be mitami to his relatives, but not so in the case of a Kohen Gadol. And it's interesting that the Nazir in this case is being elevated or equated halachically to the status of a Kohen Gadol. That just like a Kohen Gadol is enjoined from being Metame even to his closest relatives, so too a Nazir, like a Kohen Gadol, is enjoined from being Metame to his closest relative. Aviv v'imo achiv lachosa. That's the halachic part of this pasuk. The hashkafic part is ki nezer alokav al rosho. And what we want to spend a little time on is to try to figure out what this phrase means. You know, there's the nezer part of this phrase, there's alokav, there's al rosho. There are many different parts to this description of the nazir. By the way, did anybody here ever see a nazir? I'm the only one who saw Nazir, I guess.
I think there's the Nazir of Yerushalayim.
Did you see him, Bobby? Did you ever meet him?
I think I saw him once, yeah.
Yeah, I met him once when I went to Bibi Menachem Ovel when he lost one of his relatives. I came to Bibi Menachem Ovel. That was the only time I saw him. It's very interesting because even today, in our time, a person, a woman, or a man could become a Nazir. And the interesting thing about Nazirus is that on the one hand, the Torah really beefs it up. You know, he's Nazir al-Kov al-Rosho. It's a fantastic and dramatic description of the Nazir. And one is tempted to think, because of this equation between a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, that the Nazir personifies the highest level of Kedusha. Now, within Klal Yisrael, we have many, many different levels of Kedusha. The highest is, I assume, would be a Kohen Gadol, but now we might be tempted to derive the conclusion that Nazir is on the top of the pyramid, and his Kedusha is equal to, if not greater than, a Kohen Gadol. Now, this parasha opens up with two words, Kiyafli. Kiyafli linda neder lahazil Hashem. And Rashi points out that the word Yafli means Yafrish, which means Hafrasha, otherwise known in Chazal as Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalcha. That's called Prisha. You know, the Letzato, you know, in the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, has a whole set of, a unit of chapters called Prishus. And Rashi seems to identify the word Yafli with Prishus. And that makes sense in the case of Nazir, because the Nazir is Poresh Min Hayayin. And again, there are other dinim of a Nazir, that he can't cut his hair, and he can't drink wine, and he can't go into a Beis HaKvaros, he can't have contact with the dead, as we said before. But if I had to pinpoint one Isur that reflects the Kedushas Nazir of Prishus, Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalecha, it's got to be Shtiyas Yayin. And Rashi therefore says that the word Yafli means to separate yourself from something. In fact, the Rambam dedicates an entire book of his 14 books of the Mishnah Torah to Hafla. And what's common to all Hafla is that a person accepts upon himself with a verbal declaration some sort of a precious. In a case of a neder, I might have a piece of bread on the table and I say, Harei Olai B'Neder, and I'm Poresh from this Kikar Lechem, so that Neder and Nazirus and Shvua, all this fit into Hafla, which Rashi identifies Hafla as precious, to generate an Iser where the Iser was self-accepted. And now Rashi feels that if we have defined the opening of this parish of Nazir as precious, we're ready to answer another question. How does that parasha connect with the previous parasha? And here Rashi quotes a Gemara in Brachos, which everybody knows by heart, so famous. Lama nispecha parashas Nazir leparashas Sota. Lama lecha shekol haroes Sota bekilkula yazir atzmo min hayayin shehu mevi lidei niuf. So Rashi has another, you know, again quoting the Gemara in Brachos, there are a number of premises here that were a number of assumptions here. Number one, Rashi's assuming, or shall we say Chazal, when I say Rashi I mean it's actually Rebbe, that the cause of the kilkel of a sota is intoxication. That's number one. I mean, you could have given many, many different answers to the question of what brought her to this state of kilkul. And then there's another premise over here, that there's something called a roes sota bekilkula. It almost sounds like the parsha of sota and the implementation of hashkas sota should take place publicly. Because if it's in private, then who's this roes sota? And you know what? Sometimes I think that the word re'iyah here in this Rashi, in this Chazal, has another meaning to it. When we gaze at something, it's very often because we're curious about it. And, you know, in the case of a sota who's being sort of publicly humiliated because of the accusation against her, she violated both kiddui and stira, there's a certain element of curiosity. You know, it's a juicy story over here, you know. Sota didn't happen every day. So this guy who's a Roa Sota, you know, maybe he's not such a tzaddik, you know, why is he so curious about the Sota? And Dafka, because he's the Roa Sota, we gotta hit him with a moral lesson. We have to warn him, maybe more than we would warn anybody else, be careful about intoxicating beverages. And finally, the last premise that this Chazal in the Gemara Brachos is assuming is the fact that when you talk about Niuf, when you talk about a Nazir who's trying to get himself into a situation of avoiding Niuf, then his aspect of Precious, which Rashi identifies with the word Hafla as Precious, is going to be a key component in guarding him and protecting him from the Avera of Niuf. So those are some of the premises that we're working with. But then we get back to the pasuk that says Nazir, that the Nazir is a Nazir. And that makes sense because it's the same Shoresh. So what does the word Nazir mean? The Torah says Nazir olakov al rosho. Obviously Nazir is something that you wear on your head. So the Ibn Ezra comes to help us. He quotes some anonymous Yesh Omrim, but he actually agrees with them, that the word Nazir comes from the word Nazir. And I'll prove it to you because it says Nazir olakov al rosho. So certainly the Shoresh of Nazir is Nazir. And Einan Rachok, and this is not far from Pshat, meaning that the Ibn Ezra endorses this view that the word Nazir comes from the word Nazir. And what is a Nazir? So he says, Daki kol b'nei Adam ovdei tavos ha'olam. It's interesting. Everyone on the face of the earth is an Eved, is a slave. A slave is not free. There's only one person who really is free, and that's the Melech. And again, Melech can be understood, you know, kipshuto, you know, the physical king, but Melech could also could be considered a conceptual person, a representation of a category, which means that every single citizen, even though he's not a Melech in the technical sense, he can become a true Melech. How? Because if the opposite, the antithesis of a Melech is Ovdei Tavos Olam, we are slaves to our desires, and probably by desires, the Ibn Ezra might mean a whole slew of desires, not just physical desires, but psychological desires as well. And the king, how do you identify the king, the physical king? Yeshlo Nezer Malchus Berosho. He wears a crown on his head. So the word Nezer means a crown, and that's why the pasuk here says Nezer al Rosho. And once a person achieves the if he's worthy and he deserves to be wearing the atara and the Nezer al of a Melech al Rosho, it means he's free. He's free of all his tithes. It's very interesting. This is a flip side. A twist of what, again, Western society is all about. Western society believes that if I want to be free, what does freedom mean? Freedom means, I remember when I was a kid, they spoke about free love. I don't know if you remember, those of you can maybe date yourself to that point. You know, free today means, I don't know, homosexuality, who knows what's included in freedom. But basically, freedom means to identify the fact that no one is restricting me. And, you know, the American slogan of happiness means the pursuit of pleasure, right? That's what the Holy Constitution of America is supposed to guarantee, the pursuit of pleasure. That's called happiness. And that's freedom. True freedom means no one could... That's why, of course, from a Western secular perspective, Shabbos is anything but freedom. Because Shabbos, I'm restricted by 39 malachas, etc., etc. And comes along the Torah... And Ibn Ezra formulates it so beautifully with the exact opposite, Ashkof, as we say in Yiddish, Pogfaker. The exact opposite is true. A person is not free if he's a slave to his tivus. Who is the true, genuine, free person? Who is the Melech that has a Nezar Rosho? He who has freed himself from the slavery to the tivus. He's not always running around looking for more ways of fulfilling his desires. So hedonistic pleasure is really, in truth, not freedom, but just the opposite. That's called ovdei tavos olam. When the tavos take over a person, comes along the Nazir, and he gets the warning signal from the Sota, and he says, no, Ishki Yafli, I want to be Porish. I want to become a Nezer Alokov Al Rosh. I want to wear the crown of a king. And why? What does it mean to wear the crown of a king? Why does the Torah crown the Nazir as a Nezer? Because he is in control, he dominates his Tivus rather than the other way around. And that's why the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, how do we define true freedom? We'll take a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Haluchos Mais Elokim Hema. Comes along the Mishnah and says, you know what, the word Haluchos Mais Elokim Hema. And then it describes the Luchos as Michtav Elokim Charus Ala Luchos. Al Tikri Charus Elokheris Elokha Ben Chor Elomisholsik B'Talmud Torah. In other words, the true freedom that makes you into Cherus is the Torah itself, which is called in the Pasuk Charus Ala Luchos. The Luchos represent the Torah. And by dedicating myself to Torah, I become a free person. Why? Because the word charus means charis. Now you might ask, well, if I'm dedicating myself to Torah, I accept upon myself the yoke of Torah, I'm anything but free. And that's why Chazal is saying the exact opposite is true. That true freedom is dedication to Torah. I once heard from my Rebbe, he used to say the following, that the psychiatrist once asked him why throughout the Tfilos, and especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we keep saying that we're avodim to Hashem, you know, we're slaves to God. That's not a healthy psychological attitude. Who wants to be a slave? So the Rav used to say that there's one slavery, there's one commitment that removes all other psychological slaveries, and that's the commitment to Hashem. If I'm committed to Hashem, then I sense my freedom in the fact that I'm totally dedicated to Hashem. That's called Charis al Luchos. So the Nazir becomes Nezer Kodesh al Rosho, Nezer Lekim al Rosho, because he is in control of his Tivus. He's Charis al Luchos. And this concept that a melech is someone who is dedicated to Torah, and through his dedication to Torah and mitzvahs, he's free. He's a real Ben Chorin. And he wears the Nezer al Rosho, is indicated by the Gemara in Gittin. First the Gemara in Gittin, and then the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Gittin is discussing the case of a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is called a melech. And the Gemara says, Minolan, how do we know that Rabbanan, the scholars, Ikru Malachim? And the answer was, Be Malachim Yimlochu. And B is where the Torah itself is addressing the people of Israel and saying, B, if you study me, if you're dedicated to become a scholar, then you will be a melech. Because that's called Charis al Luchos. And it's fascinating that the Rambam opens up the third chapter in Hilchos Talmud Torah. I learned this with Ira once in Clanton Park many years ago. I don't know if you remember this, Ira. But we were learning a little Hilchos Talmud Torah in that room off the base mattress. You remember that? And the Rambam says that if you have a choice, who to honor more, you have a scholar who's a mamzer, that's the lowest level of yuchsin, and you have a kohen gadol who's an amoretz. The Rambam says you give first dibs, first respect to the Talmud Chacham. He's on the highest level. The Talmud Chacham, despite his low or humble yichus, nevertheless he's a melech. And the Rambam quotes this pasuk, "Be melachim yimlochu." And therefore, when the Rambam speaks about the highest level of Torah, it's called Keser Torah, because Keser Torah, that throne, that crown of Torah, is indicative of malchus. So that's called man malchi rabbanon. Okay, but what does that say to me? I'm not in this level of Keser Torah. So here I want to quote the Gemara in Shabbos, because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that all the Tanoim had an agreement. Svirluhu, kulo svirluhu, kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim. That although the Talmidei Chachamim are called malachim, but we who come under the influence of the Talmidei Chachamim, we also dedicate ourselves to Torah. Maybe we're not on that level of scholarship, but we are called B'nai Malachim. So the concept of malachim, as we are called in the parasha in Yisro, and that's what I want to get back to later on, to try to connect Naso with Shvuos, there the Pasuk says in Yisro, right before Nesinas HaTorah, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches, Kohanim. So the concept of mamleches is appropriate, is related to Kol Yisrael, to every single Jew. Every single Jew is related to being part of this Malchus. And why? Because every Jew has the potential to dedicate himself to Torah mitzvahs and to uplift himself, to become like a melech, to be, instead of a slave to his taivus, could be the king and dominate over his taivus. And now we want to take a look at the Alshich. The Alshich says the following, that in this parsha of Nazir, what's the whole thrust of the parsha of Nazir? Meaning, what's the message for you and I, if we're not going to become a Nazir tomorrow or today, what message can we take out of the parsha of Nazir? And here's where the Alshich reveals the secret. He says that in this parsha, Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'lamei Das Es Amo Yisrael Am Kodesho. The parsha comes to teach Das to every single Jew. Why? Because a Jew has a temptation to come to a mistaken conclusion. And that's where the Torah is coming, Lafuke, that toes. Bal Yomar Yisrael, let a Jew come forward in saying the following. Hello, who Yisbarach Hivdil, Shevet Levi. He designated Shevet Levi for the Avodah. I'm not a Levi. And not only that, mayhem amongst the Levim. We go down through, you know, Kahos, and then from Kahos we go to Amram, and then from Amram we get down to Aaron, and from Aaron down to Bnei Aaron. So now we restrict it even further. You know, there's an exclusive club here. You know, this is the highfalutin club. You know, if you don't have membership in this club of pedigrees, then you're a loser, right? Because you don't belong to Shevet Levi. Not only that, you certainly don't belong to Zerah Aaron. You're not a Kohen. Not only that, even amongst the Kohanim, there's an even more exclusive kind of upgrade here. You know, the level of the Kohen Gadol. And he's called a Kadosh. And you come to a very almost depressing or despairing conclusion that really could drag you down. And it's a very kind of dark, you know, conclusion. And that is HaKadusha Tluya B'Molida. You know, you're either born into it or you're not born into it. And there are, you know, there are religions where, you know, the you know, your status is something that you're born with. You know, see, if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, then you're on high society. V'lova b'chira tovi. So, what use is freedom of choice? God granted me freedom of choice, but I wasn't born a Kohen. I wasn't born a Kohen Gadol. Halo kmo zar nechshav. So, my status, if I'm not a Kohen, is that of a czar. And the word czar here means more than just a technical, halachic, legal problem that I can't serve in the Mikdash, but the word czar means I'm like an alien. I'm like a fifth column. I'm like a greenie over here. I have no status. I'm a czar. You know, that's not a very good feeling, you know, of self-confidence. I'm a czar. I am a czar. I mean, that's true. I am a czar. But hopefully I'm not this kind of a czar. Al-Kain, this is the essence of the Parsha, the message of Parsha's Nazir. Lilamdenu, no, you're making a mistake. Lokenu, biyad kol ish v'ish. There's a potential for every single individual member of Klal Yisrael to utilize his freedom of choice for the benefit, for the good. Lifrosh menyoni olam hazeh, to leave behind a dedication, almost a slavery to this world. Ulakadish Atzmo, to sanctify himself for a higher world. Who is the Nazir? The Nazir is not from Shevet Levi. He might be. He's not from Kahuna. He's certainly not the Kohen Gadol. He might be, but he's not. Ad Geder Shevetuv Bechiroso. We're trying to convey that if Geder means if you use something in the right way, you channel it. For two, for good, and that's the way you channel your Bechira, if you use your Bechira in the right way, Kadosh Yomrlo. He's going to be considered a Kadosh. And now, in the next two words, we get to the punchline of today's Shia. Uke Kohen Gadol. And as we said at the outset, there's no coincidence that all the laws of Iser Tumah, meaning Tumas Mes, with regard to a Nazir, are mirror images of the same set of laws that apply to a Kohen Gadol. The Kedusha of a Nazir, even though he's not a pedigree born into it, but self-accepted, is that equivalent to that of a Kohen Gadol? And therefore, says the Al-Shechah, Shalo Yitam Liyavim, the Pasuk says that he cannot be Mitami even to his own father. Gam Hu Yechashev. In other words, that Pasuk, which appears in the parsha of Kohen Gadol, Ki Hinei Ki Kohen Gadol Shenem Ali Aviv Lo Yitame, that same Pasuk appears here with regard to a Nazir, because a Nazir has the Kedusha that's equivalent to that of a Kohen Gadol. And that means that he can use his freedom of choice and he can become a Kohen Gadol. It's an amazing concept, Rabosai. Ask a person, can you become a Kohen Gadol? It's a quiz question. Try it in a classroom. Pick out your most outstanding student in the class and say to him, can you become a Kohen Gadol? He's a big chacham, so he says, no, I can't become a Kohen Gadol. Then ask him the following, can you acquire the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol? And he's going to say, no, that's impossible, I wasn't born into it. The answer is yes, you can acquire the identical Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol himself. Mind-boggling, you know? And that's the Al-Shech's Pshat in the Parsha of Nozir. The Lo'od, he says that the Nazir is even greater than the Kohen Gadol. What makes the Nazir even greater than the Kohen Gadol? Because in the parsha of Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, Ki Nezer Shemen Mishchas Alukom Al Rosho. How does he become a Kohen Gadol? He's Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. There's something external that has to be added to him in order to sanctify him. Miyuchas Hadover, the source of Kiddush El Mashu Chutzo Mimenu. And that's the Shemen. But here in the case of a Nazir, Lo Yisyaches, his Kedusha is not a result of anything that's external to him. Ki im el atzmo, ki dovek bo. He's dovek in Hu Yisparach. Hu Yisparach means Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk means. Ki nezer al kov al rosho. So we have now two, again, very similar ideas, but two very, you know, sort of variant interpretations of Nezer al-Kov al-Rosho. One is to say that he's a melech and he's wearing a crown, as the Ibn Ezra says, and that crown indicates that he's free of the slavery to his tivus. And now we have another dimension of Nezer al-Kov al-Rosho, which is coming to elevate the Nezer to a level of Kedusha that supersedes that of a Kohen Gadol, because here it's Nezer al-Kov al-Rosho even without the Shemen, so he reaches the level of being Dovek Bo Yisbarach, and that Dvekus is a Kedusha that comes mi'atzmo and is not tolui, is not contingent on something that's external to him. And of course, Rabosai, if I were to ask you, if you didn't see it inside yet, so this quiz is not going to be valid if you've already seen it, what is the famous Rambam that automatically, by sheer association, must come to mind over here when we talk about the fact that you don't have to be born into it, that you can make yourself a self-made man? Which one? The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. It's one of the most famous, if not the most famous, statements in the Rambam. And the Rambam says, Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. You think that the Kedusha and the sanctity is limited to whom? To someone who's born a Levi, Elakol Ish Ve'ish. And here the next phrase has to be understood, Mikol Bayolam. It sounds like even a guy could become a member of Shevet Levi, so to speak, an associate member, a card-carrying member. Asher not varucho, if his heart prompts him, ve'vino midato, and his intellect moves him, lahibadel v'lamod lifnei Hashem. Now please underline that word lahibadel, because that's a biblical word which the Rambam is borrowing. I want to go back to the pasuk from which I believe the Rambam is borrowing this. Lamod lifnei Hashem l'sharso, these are all words that describe a Kohen or a Levi, la'avdo. And he wants l'das es Hashem, he wants to be dedicated to Deus Hashem. And the Rambam goes on to say that if he accepts upon himself this commitment, because he wants to be badel, he wants to be separated from the normal day-to-day activities and secular mundane life in order to be completely sanctified and exclusively dedicated to Ladasas Hashem. Then the Rambam describes a whole bunch of great things that are going to happen to this person. But the bottom line for our purposes, says the Rambam, HaRezin is Kadesh Kodesh Kadoshim. It already sounds like the Rambam is talking about Kahuna, and maybe even the highest level of Kahuna, that of a Kohen Gadol, who's this Kadesh B'Kodesh Kadoshim. And where does the Rambam get this word Lihibadel from to describe this person who's joining the ranks of the Kohen Gadol? He gets it, I think, from a pasuk that describes Aaron. Because the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim has two things to say about Aaron. Number one, Vayibadel Aaron, and number two, Lehakdisha. And what it means is that Aaron took the initiative, that's called Vayibadel, and therefore, as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified him like Disho Kodesh Kadoshim, who Bonavad Olam. So there's a two-stage process. Aaron takes the first step, and that's called Vayibadel, and then Hashem sanctifies him. I have no doubt that that's what the Rambam means at the end of Hilchos Shemitah Miyovel, when he says about this individual who decides Lihi Badel, and once Lihi Badel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says HaRezen is Kadesh Kodesh Kadoshim. He becomes sanctified to the highest level, like Aaron HaKohen, who himself was Yibadel, and then he was sanctified by Hashem as Kodesh Kadoshim.
And does he get, the Rambam say that he gets, not necessarily from Korbonus, but with, there's a responsibility on the how to support him?
That's a complicated question, Joe. I would really defer this for another time, because the Rambam has a very complex attitude towards supporting Torah scholars. And again, this is not a good fundraising pitch at all, but the Rambam is really opposed to fundraising, basically. You know, the Rambam says, get off and get yourself a job, you know. So I can say that to you guys, because all of you guys have jobs, but I can't say it to my own students, you know.
So the Rambam's only talking here about Kedusha. That's basically all that he's talking
about. The Rambam is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be his chelek, v'nachloso li'olam. So I don't know what the Rambam means by that. Maybe the Rambam means that we should be supporting him. I don't know. Again, that's against everything the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah. But as I say, the Rambam sheet is very complicated when it comes to supporting Torah scholars. But our main punchline for today is the Shalah HaKadosh. As you know, the Shalah, his name was Horovitz. He lived approximately 2.5 centuries ago. And he really touches base on many, many different aspects of Nazirus and sort of sews them together into this one single concept that we've presented here today based on the Ibn Ezra, that the Nazir could elevate himself to the highest level possible. And he writes, after quoting the Gemara Brachos, that a man who saw a sota b'kulkula yazir atzav v'nayayin, and then he starts his presentation by quoting a pasuk here in Parshas Naso, describing the nazir, mikol asher ye'aseh migefen ayayin lo yochel, that he's enjoined from eating anything from any produce from the vineyard, from the vines. And now the Shalom wants to understand this on a deeper level. Meaning, why Yayin? Why does the Torah single out Migefen Yayin? So in order to answer this question as to why the Nazir is enjoined from drinking wine, he invokes a statement in the Medrash Rabbah back in Parshas Bereishis. And the Medrash asks a question, addresses a very famous question about the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? There are many, many different answers. But the answer of the Medrash Rabbah is the following: Chava sochata eshkol shalanovim vehu yayin hamashaker. That what she did was, she squeezed out from the Eitz Hadas, which was apparently an eshkol shalanovim, from the grapes, and she made wine from it. Now, you know, you begin to wonder, what's the connection here between Chet Adam Arishon, if it was Yayin, and the fact that Hashem enjoined Adam and Chava from partaking of the Eitz Hadas? You know, there's another man, for example, who says Chita, because Chita always represents Das. But why should the Eitz Hadas be identified with an Eshkol Shalanovim? And the Medrash certainly adds this last phrase, V'yayin HaMashaker, to indicate that we're talking about the intoxicating impact of Yayin. And I'm wondering if, again, you know, there might be some possibility here that if we associate A, intoxication, with Gili Arayos, and we associate the Avera of Adam and Chava of taking something intoxicating, is there some admixture here of Gili Arayos that, at least below the surface, plays a role in the Chet HaKadmon, as we'd say, the Chet of Adam and Chava? I don't know. Something I'd like you to think about. But now, the Torah says to the Nazir, Anovim lachim v'yaveshim lo ye'ochel, that there's an overall prohibition that applies to a Nazir, that he has to refrain from Anovim. The Torah goes into very specific details, categorizes Anovim as either lachim or yaveshim. And now the Shalah is going to make a big move here. He's going to assume two things. Number one, that there's a symbolic message here that hides below the surface of why the Torah enjoins the Nazir from drinking wine. And point number two, another chidush here, is that the Anovim Lachim and the Anovim Yaveshim represent symbolically what we call Midas Hadin, and Midas Hadin, God's judgment and punishment, can be categorized as either kasha or rafa. There's a very strict and harsh din, and it is sometimes Hashem admixture of racham, of compassion, and therefore it's rafa. So the tough anovim, which are called yaveshim, that dried up in their heart, does represent the real midas hadin akasha, whereas the anovim lachim in this pasuk represent midas hadin arafa. Now, if this be the case, why is the Torah addressing the Nazir and telling him not to drink wine? And moreover, why is he combining wine and associating it with Midas Hadin? And the Shalah presents the following breakthrough. And he wants to say that the Nazir is the antithesis of the original Chet. In other words, this is not coincidental that what brought about the original Chet was contact with intoxicating wine, as the Medrash calls it, Yayin HaMashaker, and the fact that the Nazir is enjoined from drinking wine. And this leads us to the context, to the concept of tikkun. Tikkun means that if any person is guilty of sin and he wants to protect himself from the punishment, he's got to do some sort of act of tikkun. And now the tikkun, the rectification, so to speak, for the chet of Adam HaRishon is going to be a nazirus. The nazir is going to say the following. You know that there's some kind of taiva here for yayin that brought about the chet, the sin of drinking from the Eitz Hadas, and I therefore, in order to raise myself above that level and do a tikkun on that avera, I have to abstain from the drinking of avanovim, and that's going to protect me from the midas hadin. Now, where do we see the midas hadin for the first time in history? We see it at the chet of Adam HaRishon. Because miyayin shesocha tochava ba misa liola. Then what did the sin of Chava and Adam, what did it bring to the world? In a certain sense, the greatest punishment that you could imagine. Instead of being, you know, eternal and infinite beings, now they become mortal beings that will die. So this brought death into the world. And basically what we're saying is that the Chet HaKadmon is associated with death. Death, of course, is associated with Tumah. And now we have the antithesis in the Nazir. If the Nazir personifies the antithesis of the Chet HaRishon, he's got to stay far away from death, and he has to be marchik himself from Tumas Misa. So stay away from any form of Tumas Misa, including Aviv V'ima. So again, what we see here in the Shalah is a kind of a package deal here, that we have on the one side of the mirror, we have the Chet Adam HaRishon, which is related to drinking from the Gefen Yain HaMashakir. We have also the Midas HaDin HaKosh and the Misa that it brought in the world. And the other side of the mirror image, we have the Tikkun side, which is embodied and personified in the Nazir. He's going to abstain from any contact with Yain. He's going to uplift himself in such a way that he protects himself from din, from judgment and punishment. And not only that, he has to stay far away from any contact with death or with the dead. And now the Shalom wants to take this one step further. The Torah describes the Nazir ki nezer alakov al rosho, and he says that is parallel, and this again we saw already in the Alshich, to the Kohen Gadol. And just like the Kohen is enjoined from Tumas Mes, and therefore he's called Kadosh, so too the Nazir is enjoined from Tumas Mes, and he's called Nazir Elokov Al Rosho, he's called Kadosh Yir. The only difference is that the Kohen can only get to that level of Kedusha through the Shemen HaMishcha. The Nazir is able to do it without the Shemen HaMishcha. V'zeh tzarech biur. Again, you know, we had the Alshich's pshat in this question, but now the Shalom wants to come up with his original pshat. Why is it that the Nazir doesn't need Shemen? It's Nezer Elokov al Rosho. And if you take a look at the flip side, you know, the next side of your page, it says, Ki yafli lindar neder Nazir. And Rashi interpreted that Ki yafli means hafrasha, prisha. But the Shalom offers an alternative suggestion. That what does the word Yafli mean? Yafli means to reveal a secret. Mufla, something that's mufla, is something that's hidden. And he quotes the pasuk Lo Niflesi Mimcha. It's not hidden from you. And what is the Nazir here trying to reveal that's hidden? He says that if not for the chait of Adam HaRishon, let's imagine what the physical body that was meant to live forever of Adam HaRishon looked like. Again, that's mufla. That's something that we can't even imagine. It's completely hidden. We have no access, no vision of Adam HaRishon Kodem Lechet. And in fact, he says that what was the goof of Adam HaRishon? It was Kadosh Kosnos R with an Aleph, which means the divine supernal light, the infinite light. But as a result, in the aftermath of the sin, it became Kosnos R with an Ayin. And the flesh of man, the basar of man, became Chomri, it became totally physical. And in the original divine plan, in the scheme, man was placed in Gan Eden, Li'avda. Rabbo said, what does that remind you, Li'avda? What other place on the face of the earth could somehow be described as a kind of Gan Eden Li'avda?
The
Beis HaMikdash, correct. So that man in the original plan was meant to be a Kohen Gadol to serve in the Gan Eden, Li'avda L'Shamra, Ki Hoya Roy La'Avoda Ki Lo Haya Zar. Man was not a Zar. You know, the concept of Zorus was only in the aftermath of the Chet, when the Kusnos are with an Aleph, which is the infinite light of Kedusha, is now replaced by R with an ayin, which is the most physical, you know, the hide of an animal, so to speak, and that's called zaros. And now man becomes a zar. He's no longer fit to do the avodah. So what happens to a zar? What do we do with a zar in the Beis HaMikdash? We throw him out. So that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to Adam HaRishon. He's not fit for the avodah. He's a zar. He no longer has kusnas or with an aleph. He has kusnas or with an ayin. Throw him out. He's no longer royal avodah. He doesn't belong in the Gan Eden. He doesn't have a shaychus to avodah b'beis hamikdash. And who is going to now replace the zar and be the antithesis of the zar when the Beis HaMikdash is built? Is the Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is the ultimate tikkun of the Chet Adam HaRishon. He's no longer a zar. He gets the Shemen HaMishcha. And with the Shemen HaMishcha, he's the Skadish Biktushas Kusnas R with an Aleph. And now he can serve in the Beis HaMikdash because he's not a zar. Now the Shalach claims that Moshe Rabbeinu is even greater, because Chazal tell us that in commenting on Parshas Tetzaveh that Moshe Rabbeinu initially was the Kohen Gadol during the Yemei HaMiluim, and he didn't even need Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. He didn't even need to be anointed with the oil, and he was Mishamesh, the Gemara tells us in Titus, with a Cholik Lavan. Lavan is a color which is natural and indicates man in his natural state from birth. And the Shalot describes Moshe Rabbeinu Shalot Hoya Zar Mi'olam. He was never a Zar. Aaron needed the Shemen HaMishcha to remove Zoros. Moshe Rabbeinu was never a Zar. Why? Ki Me'es Shenolad Nismali Abayis Ora. And the word Ora here refers to the supernal eternal light, which makes Moshe Rabbeinu anything but a zar. He's really fit for the avodah. And in fact, at the end of his life, he turns the Karen R, which is with an ayin of physicality, into a Karen R with an aleph, which is the supernal light that radiates from the head of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu wears kusnas R, and that's how he goes into the Mikdash. That's called in the Lashon HaShas Chaluk Lavan, and in a spiritual symbolic vein, it's called Kusnas R, because Moshe Rabbeinu represents R from his very birth, and therefore he was never a Zar. He never needed any Tikkun. And the Zoros that came into being after the Kusnas R with an Aleph were removed in the aftermath of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, that R was hidden for Liyasid Lova, for the end of time, that supernal, eternal light, infinite light of God. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the only exception. He was zoche immediately to that R from his birth. And again, Rabbi will say, this is a whole other discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of his birth and what that means and how we have to understand that. But now comes the Shalah full swing back to our parsha. And that's the parsha of Nazir. The Nazir, as we said, he's Parish Atzmo Minayayin. What is he trying to do? What is the Nazir trying to accomplish? I don't mean psychologically. I don't care what he's thinking, the Nazir. But on an existential level, what is he trying to accomplish? He's trying to accomplish Ishki Yafli. He's trying to look for something that is hidden. What's hidden? What's inaccessible? The goof of Adam HaRishon before the Chet, that kustas R with an aleph, that made Gan Eden a place li'avda for Adam HaRishon was royal avoda. That's what the Nazir is trying to do. The Nazir says, I'm going to be parish as atzmi min ayayin. Yayin was the catalyst that brought down Adam and Chava. I want to do a tikkun for Adam and Chava. So Adam and Chava, as a result of the Yayin, they became Kusnas R with an Ayin. Now, the Nazir, by leaving Yayin, he wants the Kiyafli, he wants to reveal the Hafla here. He wants to, in a sense, personify the Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet, which is the Adam HaRishon of Kusnas R, Vahainu Hepech HaTaiva, Shegaram li Adam lios nifshat mikusnas ar. Why is Adam Arishon stripped of his kusnas ar with an aleph? Why is he stripped of his status of liavda and he becomes a zar? It's all because of the taiva represented by the yayin that brought him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And again, I'm not 100% sure, you know, whether the chait of Adam Arishon was a chait of taiva, and not everyone I'm positive that not everyone would agree that, you know, Adam Arishon looked at the Eitz Hadas and he was overwhelmed by a desire to eat from the Eitz Hadas. I don't know. There may be a whole bunch of other interpretations. Ayn Ramban, for example, but the Shalafa one understands that according to that opinion in the Medrash Rabbah that identifies the chait of Eitz Hadas with the Ayin HaMishtaker, Yayin HaMishtaker is the symbol of Taiva. We saw that by the Sota. And now, the Nazir is the Hepuch of Adam HaRishon. If Adam HaRishon's sin was that of Taiva, then the Nazir is going to be Poresh from Taiva, and therefore he's not going to have any Shaychus to Yayin HaMishtaker. V'hoya yidea gefen, ki gefen hoya. And therefore, when he declares this Nazir, Areini Nazir, he means, I want to be mafresh myself from the taivas to the extent that I can. Again, he sets up limitations. You know, I don't know if he's going to has to be a Nazir Olam. He's allowed to sustain his body to the extent that he needs for Kiyum in order to exist. Dabar shechrechi l'kiyum aguf. That's okay. He wants the neshama to remain in his guf. But as far as taiva is concerned, he makes a declaration. I'm not interested in taiva, and therefore he's poresh atzva min hayayin. And he now is capable of receiving that status of nezer, nezer rosho, what was it called? Nezer elokav al rosho, a certain dveikus with eternity, with divinity. That means he's again getting back to the mufla, the hafla of the kusnos are, and the tikkun for that sin. And if you add the alshech into the picture, he's even greater than the Kohen Gadol, who's not a czar, because the Kohen Gadol needs the shemen, whereas the nazir doesn't even need the shemen. And now the shalom wants to drop another bomb, and he wants to say, well, why is it that the nazir is enjoined from cutting his hair? And not only that, but on the other extreme, when he completes his nazirus, he's got to shave off all his hair. So basically, the nazir ends up with a funny kind of situation. You know, he doesn't cut his hair, so he gets long hair, but then at the end of the day, he shaves off all his hair. It's a little bit mudna, you know. And he says the following, that ain't safek, he wants to say, that if the hair is too long, or if there's no hair, in both cases, he doesn't look like an Adam. He's not a mensch. A mensch has to look like you and I. Well, I need a haircut, but at least like you. And he's not mevakesh taiva. So what happens? If a person grows his hair way too long, he's not appealing, he's not attractive. And if he's bald, he's not attractive. He should have cut off all his hair. When a person has a nice haircut, there's plenty of hair on his head, but it's not too long. It's, you know, I've seen, and you and I have seen people that, you know, it's like really disgusting. But so that means that he's being parished from a taifa. And here, the Shalach quotes a very, very famous Agadah, which appears in Masechta Nedarim, in Masechta Nazir. I don't know it from Nazir, but anyway. And this is the famous case of Shimon HaTzadik, who never wanted to eat from an Hashem Nazir Tomei, because he always assumed that a Nazir was Shalol Hashem Shemayim, until Pamachas Higia Echad Min Adorom, Adam Echad Min Adorom. And he's this really good looking guy with beautiful eyes, and he's got nice hair, and this person wants to become a Nazir. Or he already was a Nazir. And Reb Shimon asks him, what's your story over here? So he tells him a whole story that he was a shepherd in his father's farm. And he went to fill up water and he looked into the Maya and he saw, wow, I'm a good looking guy. And he saw the Yetzer Hara was going to get the best of him. I guess they didn't have mirrors in those days. So he fights with his Yetzer, he calls him a Rasha, etc., etc. Again, there's a lot of different nuances here, but basically he says, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my hair to Hashem. Agalel chol Hashemayim, my giluch will be for the sake of mitzvah. And Shimon HaTzadik was so impressed by the sincerity and the genuine nature of this nazir that he says, I never want to eat from Hashem nazir, but from your Hashem nazir I will eat. Because you represent the embodiment, the personification of Ish ki yafli lindor nedel nazir lahazil Hashem, and nazir alokov means that the nazir, if he's sincere, steps into the shoes of Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. He's not a zar. He's got nazir alokov al rosho. He has the status of a kohen gadol, and he doesn't even need the shemen amishcha. And at the end of his period of Naziris, he's going to shave his hair again to indicate that he's not interested in Taiva, but rather he's been uplifted in the state of Naziris, and now he's ready to make the transition and come back to Earth and land on Earth. And Rabosai, again, we don't have too much time, but just a few last very quick points here in this beautiful presentation of the Shalom. If you look at the Tanchuma says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was up in Shamayim, and he had this Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like he has a Dira up in the Elyonim, he wanted to have a Dira here down in the Tachtonim. And what did he do? He brought Adam HaRishon into Gan Eden, and he said, I'm going to bring you into Gan Eden, and I will be there with you. This is going to be my Dira Lamata. But at the end of the day, Adam HaRishon violated the one mitzvah that he got, and as a result, he had to leave the Gan Eden. And there's another medrash which also connects the parasha of Kohanim and Nazir with Big Day Kahuna, and it says that originally the Bechoros were in charge of supervising the Avoda until the Shevet of Levi replaced the Bechorim, and Adam HaRishon was the Bechor. And he was really dedicated to be set aside to be the Kohen to do the Avoda in this Dira Batachtonim, this Beis HaMikdash of Gan Eden. And not only that, he brings Adam HaRishon a carbon, like a Kohen would bring a carbon, and the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vatitav Lashem Yishar Par, and he wears Big Day Kahuna. Where does Adam HaRishon wear Big Day Kahuna? Vayas Hashem Elokim LiAdam Elishto Kusnos Ar Vayal Bishem. And in the original divine plan, those garden were meant to be Big Day Ar, like the Big Day Kahuna, for the purpose of Avoda. And then Kevan Shesarach, once Adam HaRishon violated his mitzvah, he goes down, his mace, he's going to die. And he gives over these begadim to Shais, who passes them on to Mishuselach, and finally they reach Noach, and Noach is wearing these begadim, and Amad Noach v'hikriv karbono. So we see that in the original plan, starting from Adam Rishon, there was meant to be Kahuna and Avoda and Big Day Kahuna, and everything got messed up because of the Chet. And now it's very interesting because when it says Vayas Elokim, Hashem Elokim LiAdam Elishto Kusnas Ar Vayal Bishem, I'll leave this to you to count up how many words there are. Rabbeinu Bechai Kidarko Bakodesh says that there are 8 words which correspond to the 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the Shmona begadim. And again, this all indicates that Adam HaRishon was meant and designated the original plan to be the Kohen Gadol and to do the Avoda, but that's already gone. So now what do we have? We have Klal Yisrael. Now you might say to me, well, Klal Yisrael, can we somehow aspire to be like the Kohen Gadol? We weren't born into it. But in Parshas Yisro, and that's why Naso connects to Parshas Yisro according to the Alshich, it says, Atem Tiuli Mamleches Kohanim. And the Baal HaTurim is very famous for saying that Klal Yisrael had the potential of Kulam Kohanim Gadolim. Every member of Klal Yisrael had the potential of rising to the level of a Kohen Gadol. And he says, Liyasid Lavo, Tachzor lehem. This is going to actually come back to Klal Yisrael. Vatem Kone Hashem Tikro Pasuk Yishayo Anovi. So every Jew can be like the Kohen Gadol. How is that so? So according to the Alshif, it's very beautiful. The message is right here in Parshas Naso. The Nazir is Nezer Olakov Al Rosho. He doesn't even need the Shemen Anishva. He has all the sanctity of the Kohen Gadol, and he's really bringing back the original Kohen Gadol. That's the Tikkun of the Nazir. Who's the original Kohen Gadol? Adam Arishon Kodem Lachet. And Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the Egel Azov, he takes the Egel and he burns it and he turns it into something very thin, a powder, and Vayoshek is Bnei Yisrael. He mixes it with water and he makes the Jewish people drink it. Sounds awfully similar to another parsha that we discussed.
Yeah.
Parsha Sota, so Rashi says, Vayishak es Bnei Yisrael niskaven lebodkom kisotos. So it's interesting that the parsha of Nazir comes on the heels of the parsha of Sota, and the parsha of Sota in its original form expresses itself in that episode of the Cheta Egel when Moshe Rabbeinu is bodek the Sotas, because Klal Yisrael, by worshipping the Egel, and Chazal says because of the Taiva, there was an element of Taiva here, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu sees them Parua, Rashi says Begili Arayis, is all that brings them to rebellion against Hashem, to unfortunately, tragically forfeit their rights to be Mamleches Kohanim. And like the Chet of the Yayin at the time of Adam HaRishon, where Adam HaRishon forfeits his right to be a Kohen Gadol, and instead he becomes a Tzar in Zarus, Klal Yisrael likewise tragically forfeit their rights to become like the Kohen Gadol, as the Baal HaTurim says, are you kulam? They all could have been, had they been Zoche, Kohanim Gedolim, but now they become Zorin. Why? Because of the Chet of Taiva, the Chet of being disloyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a Chet of Eshesish Kilkala, and the Tikkun of that Chet is written, is inherent in the parish of Nazir. The Nazir wants to be metaking that Chet. The Nazir wants to prove to us that every single Jew, yes, can be like Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, can be like a Kohen Gadol, that when the Torah says, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim, even though that original plan never materialized itself because we forfeited our status as Kohanim through the Chet HaEgel and we became Zorim, but nevertheless, each and every one of us has the potential of becoming, through our own freedom of choice, if we utilize it properly, like the Madrega of Adam HaRishon Kodem LaChet, not to be Chas Shom Azar, but to be Oved, to be considered a Mamleches Kohanim, and to have a Kedusha that even supersedes that of the Kohen Gadol. I'm not telling you that I advocate that you, that after this great shiur that I gave you, you should be Makabel on yourself, Nazirus. But at least the concept of a Nazir, that's something that has a very important moral lesson. As the Alshul says, we all, each and every one of us, were granted freedom of choice. The question is, how do we utilize that freedom of choice for good?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.